Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of Don't Break Rank from his series on prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Don't Break Rank.
You know, we've been doing a series this year on prayer, and I've tried to implement a lot of things that we've been learning on prayer. You know, I read a quote in the midst of doing all this studying on prayer, and it said that it's a shame if you teach on prayer and you study prayer and you don't pray. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're just not learning a bunch of stuff about prayer, but that we are implementing the things that we learn. And I was all set to preach a message. As a matter of fact, I've been working on this message for the last couple of weeks on from James chapter 5. You know, we started before Easter, we started a little mini-series on prayer in the book of James, and I was all ready to preach that this morning, and then yesterday the Lord just spoke to my spirit and said that, there was something else I needed to share with the congregation. So I'd like to share this message that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I think it's a relevant message. I think it's a timely message for us as a church and for individuals of the church. As we enter the message today, I wanted to begin with this illustration, and it comes from National Geographic, where they actually featured an article on a seven-member pack of wolves and how that these wolves had targeted several young calf, these oxen they were trying to get and kill them so that they might be able to just consume them as a meal. And as the wolves approached, there were these adult oxen, these calves, that formed a circle around the babies. And they were able to fight off the wolves for quite some time. As a matter of fact, unlike the picture, what they had did was they faced inwardly and their hooves were facing outward, and they just began to kick and kick, and the wolves were stayed off for a while. But what happened is one of the ox felt terror and felt fear, and that one ox broke off. And when the one ox broke off, the whole herd scattered, leaving the two baby calves to be devoured by the wolves. And as I come today, I want to speak to you on this subject. And that is that as we move ahead, as we do things in the kingdom of God, that you don't break rank. That you don't break rank, that we need to be together. Now, I would hope that you would take this message and that you would apply it to your family, to your marriage, to your job, to any community organizations that you may be a part of, that we all need to be together. That if we are going to see things done, especially here in the kingdom of God, that we need to be together. Yesterday, there was a group of us that went and visited two other churches. And the reason that we went and visited these two other churches is because we were looking at some structures that are similar to what we are planning to put up in our parking lot for our new worship facility. And the more I've been thinking about this the last couple of weeks, the more I think that, you know, there's the opportunity for Satan to come in here and to slip in and conquer and divide us. You know, as a matter of fact, if you would put up that next slide, you know, I found this, and it was several years ago, and you could put them all up there at one time, that there were top predictable times of church conflict.
And they said that these are the times when the church will experience the most conflict. Now, this was some of the ones that were found in the top 10. But here goes some of the key ones that we are maybe dealing with here. And the first one is a stewardship campaign slash budget. So anytime you start talking about building a church and talking about what kind of seats are we going to have, are we going to have chairs, are we going to have pews, are we going to have cement floor, are we going to have padded or carpet, are we going to have this and we're going to have that, the opportunity for division and strife is so strong that we need to make sure that we're together. You know, how much should we raise? How much should we spend on this? How much should we spend on that? And as we come, you know, I found that it's important for the people of God to be on one accord. And so another one is, you know, additional staff, change in leadership style, the completion of a new building. So once we get it up, you know, there still is the option and the possibility for strife and division to come in to the body of Christ. Loss of church membership and increase in church membership. These are all key times of conflict in the church. So we need to be aware, and our hearts need to be sensitive to what God is doing. And we need people that are going to stick with us, that are going to stay in the circle, and we're not looking for folk that are trying to break rank. You know, we need to line up together. And as I always say, it doesn't make any difference whether you disagree or not, but the thing is that you don't become disagreeable, and that we are all moving ahead in unity and on the same page. I'd like to share a verse that we've looked at several times in reference to unity, but maybe we'll put some different spins on it today, and that's Psalm 133. Psalm 133, a powerful verse or passage on unity. Psalm 133. And the psalmist says here in Psalm 133, beginning in verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." As we look at the background to this psalm, why was this particular psalm written? And as I did studying on this, there are three suggestions given as to why this particular psalm was written. One is that it was relating to family issues. And you know that in biblical times, a lot of situations required for families to come together and to live under one roof. If somebody got married, often they would bring their bride into their father's home, and there would be many other people in the home. And so somebody said when families come together that it's important that we be on one accord, that we be unified. Somebody said that visiting relatives are just like fish. After 3 days, they start to stink. So we see here that family need to dwell together in unity. Secondly, somebody has suggested that, well, this psalm is written in reference to the congregation of Israel, and that it's reflective of when the people of Israel came together for worship and they came together for the festivals, that they needed to be on one accord, that they needed to be unified. And as we, you know, look at church today, for some reason it seems like the church is the main place where people want to divide. It seems like the church is the main place where people want to split up. You know, you come to church and people say, well, you know, it's too loud or it's too long. And so they don't want to come to church anymore. But they'll go and sit at a football game that's 4 hours long, and that where people are hollering and people throwing beer on you and everything else. So we find that the church is a place where, you know, a lot of people find to divide and for unity not to be present. But I pray to God here at Bethany Baptist Church that we would be a church that would be unified, that we would be a church that would be of one accord. There was a man who was found on a deserted island, and as they discovered that he was lost for years and years and years, they came to rescue him, and they saw three huts on the island. And somebody asked him the question, well, what are these three huts for? And he said, well, one hut is where I live. And he said, one hut is where I go to church. And they said, well, what's the third hut? He said, well, that's where I used to go to church.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, Anchored in Jesus radio family. I'm coming to you with a special announcement. I would like to invite you to join me on a trip of a lifetime. Anchored in Jesus Ministries is partnering with Dr. John Stanko of Purpose Quest to go to Israel in 2018. The dates are April 24th through May 4th. Your trip to Israel will make the Bible come alive in new and exciting ways as we visit many sites where the biblical events took place. For more information, visit the Anchored in Jesus website at www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
Some people can't even get along with themselves. You know, and if you have a hard time getting along with yourself, you're definitely going to have a hard time getting along with other people. But yet and still, you know, we pray that the Spirit of God, that the unity of God would be among us, and that as we march ahead, that we would stay in line, and that there would be people who wouldn't break rank. Even when we come to points where we would not agree with someone else about other issues, that we would still stay in line, and we would still be marching together, and we would still be like that symphony, that even though there are different instruments and they have different notes that they must hit at different times, yet when they come together, they all sound one harmonic, symphonic blend of music, and it's just a beautiful thing as they move ahead. And that's the desire here, that we might all have different functions and we might all have different jobs, but as we play our instruments, that to God it would be a sweet sound as it would rise up from this place, and that it would be heard in the ears of those in heaven, that we would be a people that would be on one accord. And the third occasion that's given as to why this psalm may have been written. As you know, there was a civil war in the Old Testament, much like there was a civil war in America, where the northern and southern kingdoms were at odds with one another. And somebody said that when these groups came together and they united after the division, that it was a beautiful thing. That behold how beautiful and pleasant it is when brethren from the north and brethren from the south come together and they dwell together. Well, which one of these actually serves as the background to this passage? Well, I'm going to say this. All three. All three. We need to have unity in the family. We need to have unity in the congregation. And God knows that we need to have political unity. I just don't understand our politicians. Once again, I'm not a political individual, and I try to stay away from politics, but I just don't understand how that there could be so much division among the politics. And there seems to be absolutely no point that they can agree on. And they, instead of trying to be concerned about the country and move the country ahead, it just seems like all this division and fighting. And so maybe somebody needs to get a copy of this message after I preach it and maybe send it to your senator and to your representative. Let them hear it. Psalm 133. Behold how beautiful it is when brethren can dwell together in unity. You know, it reminds me of the fact that when we come together, there's power. There's power in unity. That when husbands and wives come together in the home, there's power. But if your children can catch you divided, they can divide and conquer. They make you weak all by yourself. They'll have your house turned upside down if they can divide you. But when you come together and you stand together as a husband and wife, there's power in what you can do. Peanuts commercial where Charlie Brown was watching television and Lucy came in and said that you need to change the channel. I don't want to watch what you're watching. And Charlie Brown said, well, what makes you think you can come in and you can change the channel and watch what you want to watch? And she held up her hand and she said, you see these five fingers? She said, apart, they can't do nothing. But when I ball them up and I bring them together, they become one single unit that is a weapon that's terrible to behold. And she gave him the remote. She changed the channel. And Charlie Brown was walking away and he looked down at his hands. He said, man, how come you guys can't do that? That as we are unified, there's power. You know, we're going to have to raise some significant funding in order to build this new sanctuary. And if we come together, to me, there's no obstacle that can get in our way. Finances are not even going to be an issue. You know, if we come together, you know, God will begin to just bless us in ways that we can't even think about. But apart, if we are divided and we are, you know, fussing and fighting and bickering about this or that, you know, God's blessings are not going to be attracted to this place. But if we will stand together, man, we will have power to be able to do whatever it is that God has called us to do. I mean, we're able to do some powerful things right now, but I'm looking forward to us being able to do even more powerful things as we move ahead. As we look at the passage under consideration today, let me share a couple of things with you. The first thing that I want to say is that to break rank, that if you are an individual who breaks rank, and let me define what I mean when I say break rank. You know, break rank means that you are trying to do something different from what the group is trying to do. All right? Now, here again, once we as God's people seek God, get the vision from God, hear from God, then we need to all be moving in the same direction. And there may be disagreement. I understand that. But, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable. And so we move together. And as we look at even the military term, what does it mean to break rank in the military sense? It means that you're walking in a straight line as soldiers, and then all of a sudden somebody veers to the left or somebody veers to the right, and they kind of get out of sync with everybody else. So when we talk about breaking rank in the church, we're not talking about disagreeing. That's not an issue, man. You know, I'd hate to be with a group of people that were yes people and that agree with everything that we say. You know, so we're not looking for yes people. But what it means to break rank is that, you know, once we have settled and once we have come up with God's idea and God's plan and we start to move ahead, that we're all moving together and that nobody's over here dragging their heels. I heard somebody say one time, when the bus starts to move, you can do one of three things. You can either get on board, you can get drug along, or you can get run over. I don't know which one it is, but we pray that everybody would be what? On board. We're looking for folks to be on board as we ride the bus. But the first thing that we see in this passage that challenges our heart, and that is to break rank and not to be in unity, is to not reflect the character of God. Is to not reflect the character of God. This is powerful. This is powerful. He says here in verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Two characteristics of brethren that dwell together in unity is it's good and it's pleasant. Time and time again, Psalm 100 verse 5, Psalm 106 verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 118, verse 1. Psalm 136, verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1. I'm going to let you finish this for me. God is... Oh, come on, that was a little weak. That was a little weak. That was a little weak. God is...
good.
Amen. Amen. God is good. And not only that, but the scripture lets us know on several occasions that God is pleasant, or the Hebrew translation is beautiful. That the psalmist said that I want to inquire of the Lord to in his sanctuary to behold his beauty. So God is good and God is pleasant. Let me drop a bomb on you. Let me drop a bomb on you. When are we most reflecting the character of God? When we are in unity. At no other time as a group do we reflect the character of God except those times when we are in unity. The scripture says that behold how good, God is good. Behold how beautiful or pleasant, God is beautiful. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. When God looks at the home and he sees the husband and wife, not in total agreement, but when he sees the husband and wife living together in unity, one purpose, one mission, one function, one desire, moving in one direction, God said that it's a beautiful thing when he sees that. But go to a home where there's all type of fussing and division and strife. You know, sometimes in the home, we just need to go ahead and just give in to, not necessarily give in to the wrong thing, but we need to practice this idea of brokenness to what we want and what to what our desires are. Why? So that there can be unity in the home. Oh, I'm not saying to not to go along with what's wrong. That's not my point. But my point is sometimes we need to let go of our agenda for unity in the home, so that the blessings of God might reside on the home. You go to a home where there's all kind of division and strife between the husband and wife, and division and strife between the children, and you know what? The presence of God is not being manifested in that home. That home is not beautiful and good. Why? Because it's not in unity. And the psalmist says here, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There was a pastor in the 1700s in England. He was pastoring a church, and he had accepted the call to a larger congregation. And he had so been tied into the present congregation that he was pastoring that when he loaded up his stuff and he was getting ready to pull off, his wife looked and said to him, she said that, I just can't leave. I just can't leave this place. I'm so connected with the people of this church, and I love the people of this church so much that I just can't leave. And the husband looked and said, you know, I feel the same way too. And so they decided that they would stay and continue to work, and he would continue to pastor that church. And as a result of this decision, the man whose name was John Fawcett wrote the words of this song. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. One of the songs that we sing in the church, one of the powerful hymns of the faith, has come about as a result of unity being in the body of Jesus Christ. Somebody said that we need in the church, in among our relationships, we need to have a garden. And this garden needs to be the garden of God. And in this garden, we need to plant two rows of peace. Peace with God and peace with others. There needs to be two rows of squash. Squash the gossip and squash selfishness. There needs to be three rows of lettuce. Let us exhort one another. Let us consider one another. And let us love one another. There needs to be two rows of turnips. Turn up for service and turn up to support. There needs to be a couple of rows of beans. Being like Christ and being a blessing to others. And if we will plant these things in the garden of God, we will see unity manifested in the place where God wants unity manifested. And we will be able to see the power of God come down on this place. He said, behold, behold, the first word in Psalm 133 is behold. What does the word behold mean? It means stare. It means gaze. It means ponder. It means look at it. It means take a long look at it. Whenever you see two people that are dwelling together in unity, just look at it for a long time. That when you see your kids dwelling together in unity, and you see the power of God upon your children, and they are loving one another and supporting one another and helping one another, that's unity. And God says, behold.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Don't Break Rank. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Don't Break Rank, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Don't Break Rank. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Don't Break Rank. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.